Happiness We're gonna spread
freedom. I am not here to tell you what to think.
Obama's gonna change it. Obama's gonna leave.
I'll make our government open and transparent.
We're gonna change
that anyone can ensure that our business is people's business. Justice Louis Brandeis once said, sunlight is the greatest disinfectant. And as president, I'm going to make it impossible for congressmen or lobbyists to slip pork barrel projects or corporate welfare into laws when no one's looking. Because when I'm president, meetings where laws are written will be more open to the public. No more secrecy. That's a commitment I make to you as president.
By business and political leaders to tear down the trade barriers among the United States, Canada, and Mexico, and to create a NAFTA superhighway, all of which could be done without the approval of Congress or the American people. President wants Obama named a diehard free trader.
And when there's a bill that ends up on my desk as president, you, the public, will have 5 days to look online and find out what's in it before I sign it. So that you know what your government's doing. When there are meetings between lobbyists and a government agency, we'll put as many of those meetings as possible online for every American to watch. When there's a tax bill being debated in Congress, you will know the names of the corporations that would benefit and how much money they would get. And we will put every corporate tax break and every pork barrel project online for every American to see. You will know who asked for them, and you can decide whether your representative is actually representing you.
And what happened last week? Admittedly, it was Barack Obama said, no one can read the bill. It's got to come directly out of conference committee between the House and Senate, and it's got to be passed. And they were given less than an hour. No one was allowed to read it. 1,700-plus pages long. Close to 1,100 pages long. And then he said, I've got to sign it. The minute it passes, we're going to have a depression. And then he says, okay, I'm not signing it. I'm going on vacation. I'll sign it next Tuesday. By design, the old trick that Bush and everybody else does of rushing the Patriot Act through, rushing the last banker bailout bill through. No one was allowed to read the final version. And then passed and we got it. It was worse than the previous versions. Total takeover by foreign banks. All lies. And he's having the meetings with lobbyists are secret. He's declared they're going to keep all the Bush secrecy. They're going to keep the power so that they claim to the president that didn't exist. All lies. But see, now the Obama supporters are psychologically invested in him as a father figure, as a leader, as a savior. And so what are they saying when he lies? I'm reading their websites. I'm reading their blogs. They're going, oh, he's doing what he has to do to get things done. He rushed that through, and none of us were allowed to read it because he wanted to help us.
That's how you rule people. You don't tell them the truth.
All lies. That was all from one speech. That was unedited. That was just a few minutes of that liar. Folks, I have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of speeches, and I have a moral responsibility to not just put out a junky film. So since I'm rushing it out, I'm staying up here till very late at night just watching his speeches. And I'm telling you, there's so many lies that I can't even comprehend it all. It is a tsunami of lies. They go out to focus groups, both parties, and they find out what you want and what you are demanding. That you want transparency, you don't want special interest, that you want the Congress to read the bills. And then they go out and they lie to you and say exactly what you want to hear, and then they do 180 degrees in the opposite direction. And we are getting all sorts of threats and mean calls from Obama people. We're being called, again, right-wing fascists. You know, grow up. And for all of you conservatives that call yourselves conservatives that attacked me in the last 8 years, calling me a communist because I exposed that George Bush tripled the size of government, pushed gun control, illegal wars, lying, trying to plant WMDs, staging terror attacks. You invested in him. You signed on to him. You signed on so that when Bush got attacked, you felt like you were being attacked. And the same thing's happening with Obama. And that's why you're going to lose your pension fund. That's why you're going to lose your job. That's why you're going to be a slave. That's why you're going to be in a police state. Because you won't grow up and admit you've been lied to and suckered, and that this government is bankrupt and run by a bunch of criminals.
You know, or should know, that up to 40,000 people a day die in this world of malnutrition, starvation, and diseases that can be cured for just a few pennies, like diarrhea and related ailments. That so far has been the life of the third world. Under this economic depression, there is a clear and present danger that these forms of genocide will now encroach into the United States. And as your president, I must do everything in my power to prevent it. And by the way, you're going to see a college crash as big as the real estate crash, as big as the retail crash, as big as the banking crash and the brokerage crash. They've all overexpanded, and they're producing junk. And if they're not, I ask everyone, show me the greatness that the colleges have produced in the arts, in philosophy, in the sciences. Where is the greatness? Where's the great intellect?
All they produce is skin-deep sports worship and people acting cool and acting tough.
Exactly.
Good morning, CKLN listeners.
A public service announcement.
This is the 26th day of April 2010. You are listening to CKLN Rude Awakening here on CKLN 88.1 FM, CKLN.FM online, Rogers Cable Box 947.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is... Say the movie, dog.
That's correct. This is... the 26th of April, and the reason this is the 26th of April, and the reason you are listening to CKLN Radio is because here on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, as your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna, I try and offer you a little perspective on the New World Order and essentially the major forces in society that are controlling our culture worldwide, the ones leading towards globalization, essentially the colonial powers, the Anglo-American establishment, European nobility, and their American descendants, who've been admittedly running the world for quite some time now, and so within that construct of you know slavery being around a couple hundred years ago, and stories of slavery taking place now, you know, and child sex slavery and trafficking and all this sort of thing taking place. So there's certain continuities, and one of the continuities you'll find is that oligarchs, and by oligarchs I do mean the richest and most powerful people in your society, generally always act the same way. Webster Griffin Tarpley has talked about this, where he says in the movie Fall of the Republic, he says, oligarchs are like a plant. You can't blame a plant for what a plant does. That's just what plants do. And if you're an oligarch, then what you're going to try and do is you're going to try and lower the living standards of the people that of the people that you rule over. You're going to try and lower their living standards and increase your control over them to make sure that, you know, they are under your control and that they don't rebel against this crazy system they got going on. So fast forward to today. Had a busy, fun weekend, and gonna break down a couple of things. I did spend the weekend with some family, and I did head out west to Toronto where my family's at. Went to a family member's 60th birthday party, which is traditional optimistic Hinduism, which is basically you celebrate the 60th birthday as the end of the successful end of the first half of your life. So it's not like people literally live to 120, but they certainly are optimists, and you know that can be a good thing. So went to a birthday party there, and then went to a wedding yesterday, and great little wedding. But of course there are a number of things that I notice. Not to be a killjoy, but just so this crap doesn't happen again. and maybe we can learn from that. Maybe, you know, I personally, I think I'm fairly straight. You know what I mean? I'm fairly straight in this world, in the sense that that I kind of figured out enough things to survive in most environments, and you could drop me off anywhere in the world and I'll be cool. I'll figure out how people get along and I'll try and get along. But, you know, if there's something going on that sucks, well, you know, I don't see any reason to continue it. My buddy used to make hand rolled cigarettes for, you know, 20 something years. And I said to him one day, I said to him, dude, why do you make your filter so small? Because by the end of that darn thing, you're burning your fingers. And he goes, oh, I've always made them like this. And I just said, dude, maybe make them longer. Instead of making them, you know, 3/4 of a centimeter, make them a centimeter, centimeter and a half even. You know, just give your fingers a break. He's been doing it that way ever since, because it wasn't a question of ego. Ha ha, I'm crushing your head. I'm crushing your head. To quote the crazy guys at Kids in the Hall. From the old CBC TV a few years back. But that's the whole thing, is that we can all improve on what we're up to, especially when we're already complaining about certain things. You know, just complaining impotently is a bad idea. And do you have to be a rocket scientist to say that? I don't know. I hope not. I hope that people out there can go, you know what? I know rocket scientists, but I sure as hell don't have to be for this. And so breaking down a couple little tidbits from the weekend. First of all, starting off yesterday, I'm at my Korean grocers. Oh, there's a loaded term from the 80s. When there were some issues between them and others, and the black populations in certain areas of America. But I got nothing against my Korean grocer. He's just my Korean grocer. That's all. He's just my Korean grocer. That's it. And he's a good guy. And so, you know, at one of the convenience stores near where I live, he says to me, because once in a while he's cool, and I love dudes when they're cool with you. Like, if I'm in there and I'm like, hey man, I want to yap, yap, yap. And he's like, you know, I'm watching a TV show. It's like, he won't say that. He'll just give me enough information to go, you know what? Not my yapping day. Or if I come in and he's like, hey, I want to yap, yap, yap. And I'm like, ah, man, I got to wake up at 4:30 in the morning to do this radio show. I don't necessarily do that, but I mean, I'll listen for a sec, but I will make, you know, there are ways we can communicate with each other through body language, through nuances, through subtlety. And so we've developed that relationship where, you know, we're cool with each other. And so every once in a while, I'll walk into the place where I'm expecting nothing, or if there's other people there, obviously, you're not going to talk about some of the crazy, heavy things that I get into, which are great. I think they're empowering. The fact that I can handle this stuff, I think is exceptionally empowering. But hey, what are you going to do? You're going to get a radio show, and 3 days a week, you're going to talk about it. And hopefully other people can vibe on this being a better way to approach the world here in the early part of the 21st century in April 2010, towards the end of April 2010. So I'm at my Korean grocer's, my convenience store homeboy there, middle-aged Korean man, served in the war back home, and the Korean War, and tell me some crazy stories about that, but I have no idea what I'm getting. I walk in there today, boom, like a shotgun blast to the chest. He's like, the banks are going for everything. I'm like, what? I just picked up an Arizona green iced tea here for 99 cents plus tax, which I'm currently drinking on air to avoid having to clear my throat too much. Boom, the banks are going to, this is happening in this country. He says, it's coming, man. I can feel it. And boom. And he knows he can say this stuff to me because, you know, I've said, or I've passed on in flyer form and occasionally said certain crazy things, or I'll allude to crazy things like, you sure the queen's okay? What do you mean? Well, all right, we paid taxes. She got her money. We're good. All right, I don't want her coming after me. And, you know, people across the city will crack up at that because we all kind of know the queen runs us. And we're just not as mad about it as we should be. So back to the Korean groceries. The banks are going to do this. And I said to him, I was like, you're right, man, you're right. And I whipped out a couple of my Toronto True Seekers flyers on the, what will Torontonians, what will people in Toronto do before the G20, June 26th and 27th, which are up at TorontoTrueSeekers.com in the files section. You can download those, as well as other great flyers made by other people, great radio shows, files, tons of stuff at TorontoTrueSeekers.com, among other great sites and groups working in this city and around the world. So I says to him, dude, I said, look, man, I said, what day is it? Sunday. He says, yep. I said, if you knew somebody was going to rob you on Thursday, you'd do something. You would do something. You would do something. You wouldn't just go, we're going to get robbed. We're going to get robbed. And he just cracked up and went, yeah. And then, you know, what are you going to say? So there's anecdoto uno. And that is that, yeah, man. I mean, the first step is complaining, though. Problem, reaction, solution. That's the Hegelian dialectic, thesis, antithesis, synthesis, according to the philosopher Hegel and others before him and others since, but that's just the most modern iteration. David Icke, a noted philosopher, deep researcher today and lecturer, author, and so on, who I will say steadfastly on the air, as this is a public record over the airways of how I think, I do have some issues with. But I again, when he's saying, you know, stuff that I think is true, or when he's breaking down an analysis of the situation, he's among the best speakers in the world, the most eloquent, you know, advocates for freedom in the world because of his amazing delivery. But he coined the term problem, reaction, solution. And so if you get stuck on problem, then you'll just destroy yourself, or you won't be able to think past that. And then if you get stuck on reaction, then you know you're it's either a good one or a bad one, but it's something that that'll be a perpetual drain on your energy. Solution, problem, reaction, solution. What do we do? And that's not a process you can solve instantly. You know, our reasonable supercomputer brains here, being attacked by, you know, mercury, vaccines, fluoride, chemtrails, propaganda, stress. You know, they were still working pretty good, but you can't get through this in seconds. It's an evolving process. And so if you're out there and you're listening to radio shows like this, you're checking out the Alex Jones radio show. I'm going to play a clip of that show in a second with the beautiful Catherine Austin Fitz, who I was at a wedding last night, folks. I've seen enough beautiful girls there. If any of them talk like this Catherine Austin Fitz girl, it's over for me. I'm slayed. I'm blown away. She's former assistant secretary of housing into the Clinton administration. She manages massive capital pools, money manager, and yet she's anti-New World Order, and so she's going to have a couple of solutions in a sec. But the point is that if you're out there and you're into these shows, and you're into this type of information, you know there's some craziness going on. What are you doing to get your weight up? What are you doing to say, okay, look, I'm aware of my production on these issues, and yet since I'm aware of my production on these issues, if it's not what it could be or should be, even as an individual who can't stop the New World Order myself, but you can certainly help other people try and be a significant part of that process and use my efforts to help other people develop their efforts. So ironically, I'm playing off on that sentence right here, right now. If you're out there, instead of accusing, because this isn't supposed to be, you know, they say don't be preachy, which means you can't tell anybody anything anymore, but the state can tell you everything, or magazines and so on. So that's total BS, meant to get us stressed by giving us bad ideas that lead to bad situations, that just get us on the back end if we don't handle this right. So the bottom line is that what can you do? Can you break out a little Bob? Can you crack open those Bob Marley CDs you haven't heard in a little while and say, you know what? I'm gonna play some Bob. And then I'm going to check this out. Can you break your little notepad? Can you make a little YouTube video? Can you, you know, listen to some Jones, read some Jefferson, break out the Bible? You know, whatever works for you. Pop in some Pac. You know, what are you doing to get your weight up at this time in history to deal with these issues? As the Korean grocer jump off suggested. But Korean grocer story jump off suggested. Got to be careful with the way words are used today. But there are tons and tons of things to break down, including some specifics in the mass media. But Catherine Austin Fitz, again, Catherine Austin Fitz on the Alex Jones Show from the 21st of April 2010 has done an absolutely brilliant job in breaking down what some of our solutions should be, how we should best use our time, resources, energy, and so on. So I'm going to let her share a bit with you. All righty.
Using that, now people are saying the ugly
situation, okay.
Local businesses.
That's better.
The great businesses in the state, they couldn't. They're going out to places like Wall Street. So I always use the example of the food stamp program here in Tennessee. We have counties in Tennessee, Alex, that have 25% unemployment rate, but meantime, we are outsourcing our data servicing and customer support on our state food stamp program. Are you ready for this? To JP Morgan Chase in India. So jobs that could be being done in Tennessee in counties where there's, because these are digitally, you can shoot these with telecommunications anywhere.
Exactly. Even the bureaucracy to deliver the welfare of dependency has been globalized to make sure that none of the money ever gets back to the community.
Right. So, and nobody connects the dots because that knowledge, those databases.
Well, here's another example I saw on the AP last week with a Texas case and the legislators complaining. They're taking existing roads, giving stimulus money to Centra of Spain to come in and put toll roads on it and paying them stimulus money to put the toll road gates and license plate reading cameras in. And it came out that's illegal to use stimulus money for a toll road, but they just don't care. I mean, this is incredible.
Well, it's incredible. I mean, in my little town of Hickory Valley, there was a proposal to put up a cell tower at our city hall and use a government grant to do it when private parties were going to own it. But the government was going to pay, I think, for half of it. It's unbelievable. So, you know, the money is clearly out of control. And I think, you know, we're seeing incredible polls in the last 2 weeks. Rasmussen polls, basically, in election between Ron Paul and Obama today, they're basically even. And we've seen other polls, Alex, showing that people of all parts of the political spectrum agree more with the Tea Parties than they agree with any political party, Republican or Democrat. And so you're watching a very powerful unification start to happen around, you know, Americans' belief in the Constitution and the importance of running the money clean. You know, simple, basic issues. And now with April 15th behind us, nobody wants taxation without representation, which is really where we've gotten with the bailouts and now with the health care bill. And so I think you're starting to see a very powerful new consensus emerge in America, which is our real opportunity, saying, wait a minute, you know, this system has no legitimacy. It has no legitimacy under the Constitution. It has no legitimacy under the law. And the funny thing, the conundrum, the weakest, you remember in Star Wars, was it Star Wars where they have the hole in the Death Star? The Death Star has one vulnerability?
Yes.
Let me tell you where the vulnerability is for the New World Order. You know, the hole in their Death Star. And that is that as a bureaucracy, they have promoted all sorts of wonderful things, the most wonderful being the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, and the second most wonderful being all sorts of fiduciary laws related to the money. And if you look at their operation, they are in direct and intentional violation to criminal standards on those two laws. And what is happening that's so powerful is the Tea Party group, the, you know, sort of the other people rising up and saying, this is wrong, have embraced constitutional principles, the principles of the Declaration of Independence, and all the fiduciary laws related to money. And so you've got a very interesting switch of what the Chinese call the mandate of heaven, because the Tea Party and Ron Paul and his group have got the mandate of heaven according to, you know, hundreds of years old traditional American values and American law.
Let me just interrupt. I mean, to boil it down, the banks, the offshore corporations are engaged in a hostile corporate takeover. It's purely illegal. They raise our taxes for corporate welfare to be paid to them by the government. They also come in and buy off the city managers to invest most of our tax money in their derivatives. So that's another tax to the private banks. It's illegal. And now the people are finally waking up and going, wait a minute, a bunch of Madoff criminals, Ken Lay types, are
right,
running
and
our
and
society.
Right, and let me tell you what people are waking up to, because people have known it was criminal for a long time, and the question was always what we do about it. But they're coming to the same point I came to in 1998, which was, you know, this thing is so perverted and is so without any, you know, it's so empty of any meaning and values. I want nothing to do with it, and I would rather be out in the wilderness. I'd rather die in the wilderness than be part of the New World Order.
Stay there. Stay there. The oligarchs, the Anglo-American establishment, have written hundreds of books, thousands of white papers, bragging about the system they're setting up. And people 50 years ago, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago would warn the public, they would laugh at them. But because people have been out there telling the truth, now that world government's being openly announced, people are going, whoa, this was real. And they're seeing that it's predatory. You know, I get these emails all the time about, it'll be like Star Trek. I'm a humanist. It's the next level of humanity. No more wars. We'll all be together. No, it's a global government waging war on you, humanity. That's what these people out there that support world government, the useful idiots, don't understand. And powerful words from Catherine Austin Fitz at the end of that segment saying, I'd rather die than be in the New World Order. I wanted her to be able to finish that statement and then continue through this segment and the next. Go ahead, Catherine.
Well, what I was saying was I was in the middle of litigation in Washington in 1998 when I made the decision. And, Alex, everything was corrupt. I was dealing with folks from the Department of Justice and the courts and my own attorneys, and it just went on and on and on and on. And there was, at one point, I finally realized these people don't believe in the law of any kind. You know, it's what Leonard Cohen said, they're blinded by the beauty of their weapons. And ultimately, an economy and a civilization can't be based on force and greed. That's not enough to keep something going. And, you know, if you look at the great empires throughout history, they had something more than simply guns and greed. And so, and I remember saying, look, we need another plan. this is not going to work. And I would rather be dead than be part of it because it's too perverted. I mean, it's just, if you look at the sexual practices, if you look at the cultural practices, it's just too perverted. Now, let me speak in defense of some of the top guys. What they say is the crowd always votes with the criminals. You know the story of the crucifixion. You're talking about Jesus and the money changer. You know, Jesus gets hauled off by the Romans at the request of the priest.
Give us Barabbas!
Right. And the Romans know it's very bad karma to kill Jesus, so they offer the crowd the option of the criminal or Jesus. And the crowd lets the criminal off. And if you look throughout history, what the guys at the top will say, look, the crowd is easy to manipulate. The guy that will buy them with their own money always wins. And so that's
what I was about to say. I've had high-level elitists openly tell me over the years, look, Alex, this is the way the world is. You might as well join it and try to do some good in the evil system because this is just the way it is. But once you have that attitude, it just races downhill into Nazi Germany.
Right. And that's the problem. And suddenly, it's funny, I gave a presentation in London many years ago about sort of what was happening in this country. And there was a guy who I'm pretty sure they had sort of sent over to discredit me after I spoke. And I gave a paper called The Myth of the Rule of Law, which is quite good, and it was quite fair and everything. And this guy just turned redder and redder as he was listening to me speak. And finally, when it was over, he just burst out and he said, you don't understand. He said, we can't depend on people to be responsible. So we just can't depend on them to be responsible. And I turned to him and I said, so that's why you destroy all the people who are? And because really all this has been used to justify just taking and theft and bad behavior on their part. And Alex, he jumped up and walked out of the conference and never came back. So I guess he figured he couldn't discredit me and was instead deeply disturbed. But there is a chicken and egg problem. And that's why I believe that significant efforts in the grassroots to shift this thing can shift it, because there's so many people who work in government and corporations and large organizations who don't want it to go to this. They don't want a slavery system.
Yeah, people who have children and people who love humanity. I mean, I've seen so many people who've been abused who then become abusers. It's like, well, I've been cheated, so I'm going to cheat somebody else. But then when I get cheated, I fight to stop others from being cheated. I mean, there's just so many twisted people out there. We'll be back. Final segment with our guest. Catherine, there's this article in the London Guardian today, New Global FAT Tax to Rein in Banks, and they say it's a VAT on all transactions, and the nations are all passing laws to comply. Gordon Brown says it's a global governance, and the top banks will now put taxes on all other financial transactions and give themselves the money, and they're billing it all over the news as a way to get the rich bankers. I mean, they really are slick. how they pass all their different takeover operations in the name of getting the rich guys. I mean, they are really duplicitous, but I guess they've got the Guardian and the AP and others working for them.
The Matrix is trillions of dollars are spent on getting the Matrix to look, you know, Disney World has taught these guys a lot. So, you know, but there's a great amount of money made to make the system look legitimate, you know, up to and including the lawsuit against Goldman Sachs.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to ask you about that. We're almost out of time. I believe it's because there's so much heat. It's civil. They can now have a 3-4 year investigation, give somebody a $5 million fine, slap somebody on the wrist, and use the investigation to smokescreen all the state investigations.
Well, I think it's complex. I think there are multiple agendas going on, but there's no doubt about it. I think the reason this one got through is these latest polls that show Ron Paul, even with Obama or the Tea Party representing most American people more than either political party. I think Washington is in real trouble, and Washington is trying to say, no, this wasn't us, this was Wall Street, which is clearly a bunch of bunk. But coming into the election, Washington has a real problem. The Democrats have a real problem, because if you look at the Glass-Steagall and the derivatives, it was all Reuben and Clinton. And we see literally Clinton in testimony, you know, this last week saying, oh, I was wrong to listen to Reuben and Summers, you know, hint, hint, the Goldman guy. So you've got real, I call it the Midianite thing after the story in the Old Testament of the Midianites taking over Israel, and they Gideon's army attacks, and the Midianites jump up in the dark and kill each other. And we're literally watching the Midianites kill each other now as they start looking for scapegoats coming in the election.
So you're saying it's so bad for them, they may even throw a few of their minions overboard.
Oh, they're going to throw a lot. And that's the opportunity. If you make a deck of cards, I want you to make a deck of cards that are basically the 50 most ridiculous people in the New World Order and make fun of them, because the more we make fun, the ones who are going to get shot are the ones we make fun of.
They
have excess capacity. So what you're going to watch is they're going to start turning against each other.
Yeah, because really they're all a bunch of hateful creatures anyways. Any excuse to, well, I throw him over, I'll move up the pyramid.
Right. There's no loyalty among rats, and that is our opportunity. If we can be part of something, and that's what I said before, there are so many wonderful people who are working in government or working in large corporations or working in state and local government that are looking at what is going on. They're absolutely appalled, and they need... You know, they need more and more of us offering something which is constitutional, which is lawful,
absolutely,
and which is wealth building to attract them into.
We've only got 1 minute left. Do you agree with me that they're setting the stage for false flag terror to be blamed on tea parties? I mean, they're really, really beating the drum,
you know,
right now.
They're trying so hard, and the harder they try, the more ridiculous they look. And so they're going to keep trying. It's going to fail completely, and I hope they just keep talking that way, because the more they talk that way, the funnier they look.
It is getting ridiculous. It is getting ridiculous when you say, you don't like the banks looting you, you hate black people, you want to blow up federal buildings.
It's not working. It's not working. So I hope they keep doing it, because the reason Ron Paul is head to head now with Obama is because of these tactics and how they're failing. People are smart, Alex. It is amazing how little violence you see across this country. It is amazing, because people have learned that will be used the wrong way. And so the people are really smart about how they are exercising their disobedience to the New World Order. So, you know, we're for law, we're for wealth, and they're against it. And
absolutely.
And that's where
Catherine, we're out of time. Incredible interview. Thank you for spending time with us. God bless you.
Alex, you're the best.
You're the best.
Trey, niggas think we bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. Nigga try me, sonny, best at the heat on him. Hook mine's close, get them out the street with him. Or I'll put your body in the bag. Turn on me, I'm on your ass. I bring money to my niggas that bring death to my enemies. I bring money to my niggas that bring death to my enemies. Nigga front on me, the goons and goblins come out. Bushmaster, 100-shot drums will run out. They dumb out, you heard of me, they call me Big Homie. Me, I make the register ring. I'm the cash cow. They make the hammers ring. They on your ass now. Head trigger, stand, nigga, yeah, niggas a flip.
six or seven stars, let it off to where. Here I is, where the money is, I still get biz. If these know about the beef, you gon' still get dead. It be a tombstone in your fucking grave, they dig. Had an ass in the breach to try to talk to the pigs. I'm like Damien, nigga, when I start getting loose in you. Close things loose for you, think I got a noose in you. I make it hard to breathe. I come where you hustle, air it out, make it hard to eat. How you looking both ways like you cross the street?
And we're back, CKLN listeners. That again was Catherine Austin Fitz. Oh, I'm in love with that woman. On the Alex Jones radio show from the 21st of April 2010. Love that dude too, for that matter. Don't get it twisted here. When someone like Catherine Austin Fitz is talking to someone like Alex Jones, and again, you have the former Assistant Secretary of Housing under President Clinton in the 1990s, a money manager of Solari Investments. She's managed $300 billion in capital for rich people. So she's a straight-up insider who saw what was going on inside and went, this is nuts. She actually came to a conclusion with a fellow colleague of hers, when I played a clip of her previously on the Alex Jones radio show a couple weeks ago, where she talked about how she and another actuarial financial scientist who basically calculates, you know, decisions made by the major institutions and the markets and governments. And she came to the conclusion that the only thing they're going for is significant depopulation. She was invited for a dinner by another person in the business, in the financial industry, high level. They went out for dinner, and he broke down that conclusion to her. And then, and he, the same conclusion. He's like, yeah, I think they're going for major depopulation with this, where they're trying to lower our living standards, dumb us down, move all the jobs overseas, destroy any possibility of jobs for manufacturing or industrial nature later, by moving all our manufacturing overseas, raising our debt up and destroying the value of our currency itself. So we won't be able to make anything anymore, and because our paper will be worthless, we won't be able to buy anything anymore, because the rest of the world will go, we're not just going to continue accepting pieces of paper for stuff, which is currently what's been happening, especially with the petrodollar cycle, where essentially the world's oil, since the early 70s, the Bretton Woods Agreement, I believe, had to be traded in U.S. dollars. So if you ever want to buy, any country in the world that wanted to buy oil, had to do it in U.S. dollars. Iraq, under sanctions, under United Nations sanctions since the first Gulf War in 1991, was finally going, screw this, we want to sell black market oil, and we want to use euros to buy oil, buy and sell and trade oil. And that ticked off a lot of the... And of course that ticked off the powers that be evil, and we saw what happened. So there's a bit on that, and on Catherine Austin Fitz and kind of what's going on. There are eugenicists that do run all this, and it's a shame that is the case, but it's a bigger shame to not deal with it rationally as best we can. So back to the weekend here, because the New World Order, again, it is a system. It is oligarchs. As Webster Tarpley said, they act like plants. And I did start off the show talking about that because it is of key import, as far as I can tell, in today's day and age. But I'm going to break down some news in a sec. Have no fear. But I did want to break down a couple of things that did happen on the weekend. I met an absolutely lovely young lady who I'd met last summer as well. Beautiful, sweet, and whatever. But she's a teacher, and she accidentally set me off with a bit of a sort of half and half blame the kids and blame the parents solution. And I'm hanging with her and a couple other friends from this party on Saturday. And I just kind of blank out a bit in kind of a not nice way, where I'm like, I got to talk about this over music. Like, I can't explain how I feel about this or whatever. And so I feel bad, and so I apologize, because it's good vibe, good chemistry there. But the kids. I was witness to so many different styles of parenting on the weekend. And I'm just going to put this out there to people. You know, we just had here an article from Sunday, April 25th. I'm looking at the Toronto Star here online, thestar.com. Coyle, Dalton McGuinty's abrupt spinorama on sex ed leaves ministers flapping. And this is awesome. I don't know if you folks knew about this, but we won. We won, we won, we won. They're not going to teach porn ed to our little grade ones. We won. And grade 3 students and so on. And the spin has already begun. It's already begun. If you check out Issues of the Metro, just prior to the weekend edition that was out on Friday, then you will see how they describe confidently the sex education as involving not just naming genitalia, which they're saying now, and lessons on homosexuality, which they're browbeating us with, whether parents want to accept those being taught to their kid or not, which I think should be a choice. I think that, you know, you shouldn't necessarily have, you know, anatomy at best. How you use it and who you use it with, I think should be more up to your parents. And there's lots of good reasons for that and good reasons to avoid giving that responsibility to the state. But we won. Enough people made enough of a stink about it and contacted McGinty, and we won. And we brushed this back here. But let's check out the latest spin from Jim Coyle at Queen's Park. It turns out Raheem Jaffer mightn't be the only person in Canada thinking he was hung out to dry last week. The abrupt spinorama by Premier Dalton McGuinty on his government's proposed new sex ed curriculum left a few of his ministers and staff flapping in the breeze. The Premier himself spent Tuesday explaining why the initiative, which would have introduced grade 1 pupils to the correct terminology for genitalia and grade 3 students to lessons on homosexuality, was the right thing to do. See, before there was a Metro article, which the Star is affiliated with, was talking about how, you know, they want to make sure people could use, you know, knew how to use lubricants and specific sexual practices and oral sex and so on. So that's being Orwellized in this inside of a week in our fast-paced culture where we want to know what to say. So it says here, on Wednesday, his education minister, Leona Dombrowski, spoke at length on the merits of the move. Not least the point she made was how thorough the consultation process had been. Quote, "We began work in 2007. We have consulted extensively with all partners, certainly including parents. We received some 2,400 responses to the curriculum document. This document is not one that was devised totally in ministry offices," she said. Quote, "We received a lot of input from people. We have listened to them." It says here, "There may be those opposed to the plan, quote, the extent of consultation notwithstanding," she said, "but, quote, I have the responsibility of talking about why it's important to change, unquote, a curriculum that's a dozen years old and that has been overtaken by revolutionary changes in media and society." And so they're selling us this as porn education, basically, not sex ed, although it is sex education. What is sex ed? You learn about sex. Should you learn about sex from the state? Should the state standardize that for all children, possibly on an absolutely limited basis, but more specifically with the fact that this is a country that's supposed to respect different values based on where you come from, allow you certain freedom to exercise those values in a free and tolerant society, then no. No, absolutely not. If you don't want your kid learning about this in grade 1 or that in grade 3, that should be your business. And if you say to your kids, look, I'm not going to teach you sex ed because the same reason I'm not going to teach you to drive a car, because you're not old enough. And there's simply no point in teaching you sex ed in the same way there's no point in teaching your 8-year-old butt to drive a car. And so there's that. But we are in a world where we are being run by a world full of experts. And yet, if those experts liked us, then we should all be becoming experts. We should all be becoming smarter. We shouldn't see a generic sort of dumbing down going on. And so breaking down the different styles of parenting I saw on the weekend here, I'd just like to know if your kids or the kids that you see being parented, do they think or do they obey? Because certain parents I know will ask their kids to do things. And if they're kids and they're nice, then they'll do them. And if the kids are not and you make them, then they'll just learn to obey force and authority as opposed to reason things out. Now, if your kid learns to make perfectly good reasons for why they do things, you know, and that they don't feel like doing something that you might accept, then you'll have some mutual respect there. You'll have some mutual respect going on, and your child will learn to evolve that way. And so I did see a lot of that there. And I did see a lot of kids really thoughtfully doing this, and some kids, you know, sort of going, you know, can I pick you up? Kid just going, nope, that's it. Move on. I'm going to get back to smiling and pointing at something shiny in a sec, but nope. Just don't know you well enough, man. Sorry. And so there are some kids out there being raised that cool, and so on. And that's how they'll guarantee their freedom. That's how they're guaranteed their freedom, by being able to think in a world where we're being just sort of told to do stuff from official authorities. And on this, but there's also a whole bunch of influences out there. And there's music. There's a lot of pop music out there. And I'm listening to this pop music, and I'm hearing, baby, baby, I want you to give it to me, give it to me, give it to me. All night, I just need you to give it to me, give it to me, give it to me, until I feel alright. And that type of thing. And so you'll have all this sort of, and it's the same damn lyrics over and over again. And a lot of them are a lot more explicit than that. And some of them are said by the guys saying, do this, do this. And then it's women responding going, do me, do me. And I'm catching the impact on kids singing this stuff, or I Kissed a Girl That I Liked and so on, or Poker Face, or F.U.C. by Lady Gaga, and all of her material for that matter. And we have to sort of, understand that music has certain emotions behind it that add gravitas to the words. And that's partly why I use some of that stuff here on my radio show. And it's important because that adds to how we feel about it. So we might think we're taking it in passively. We might think we just quote unquote like the music, but there are words being added to that music that are in some ways. And I have a great interview from 2007 with Alan Watt on this. Actually, early part of 2008, April 2008, on the music industry. And there's a lot of analysis out there. You can do the homework yourself, both official analysis and sort of unofficial analysis that breaks things down a little deeper, some good, some bad. Again, use your discernment out there. That talks about how music is often scientifically programmed. I mean, there are people out there that are experts on what music does to the human body. And so so it's important to understand that and understand what music is out there, what music out there is meant to do. But, those were a couple of issues there, the sex ed, the whole thing. There's a ton of stuff that we can do about this. I'm looking at the Star again, the homepage. I got the 24 in front of me. I got a couple other websites to break down things. Let's look at, first of all, at Infowars.com here, where Iran says sanctions are an act of war. So people often say sanctions are a humane response to war. And, we are seeing, the war with Iran being ginned up by the strangulation of their country. I mean, when they finally invaded Iraq back in 2003, like 7 years ago, in March of 2003, President Bush at the time was calling Saddam, the most dangerous man in the world, Iraq the most dangerous country in the world. They'd just been strangled by United Nations sanctions, which basically meant that the countries who were members of the United Nations agreed to Security Council decisions to blockade the country and keep supplies from getting in. And so you have a country that's been strangled this way for 12 years and then called the most dangerous country in the world. And we bought that. Many of us bought that. And they're trying the exact same thing again with Iran, using the war in Iraq as predictive programming. So a sentence or two from Congressman Ron Paul from Texas. Currently, again, as Kat Fitz and Alex Jones said, polling even with Obama in polls, and Obama's got a lot more press behind him. But it says here, Iran sanctions an act of war. Mr. Speaker, I rise in opposition to this motion to instruct House conferees on H.R. 2194, the Comprehensive Iran Sanctions Accountability and Divestment Act, and I rise in strong opposition again to the underlying bill and to its Senate version as well. So divestment, in essence, basically means getting rid of any investments you have there, which again pulls capital out of the country, making them economically weaker. Over 500,000 kids died from sanctions in Iraq during the U.N. sanctions up until the Gulf War, and Madeleine Albright, the Secretary of State under Clinton, when asked, said that yes, she felt it was worth that to go after Saddam. So we're dealing with truly nutty people here. But some of the things they're selling us include at VigilantCitizen.com, transhumanism, Psy War, and BEP, that's Black Eyed Peas, I'm a Bee, and it's I'm a Bee rocking that body. The transhumanist agenda seeks to merge us men and machines, and you're already seeing calls for the brain chip for video games most recently, though previously for the blind and Alzheimer's patients. They want to insert us into the Matrix. There's a new film game called Farmville, Max Keiser talked about on the Alex Jones Show, which I played a clip of last week, where Facebook users are literally escaping into this game for hours and spending virtual money while getting real bills for it. So check out VigilantCitizen.com for transhumanism. I was at Yorkdale Mall yesterday, and I saw something that made me shudder. A giant sculpture of a metal fist just in the middle of the mall, just up in the air, just a metal arm with an open hand, and it was creepy. It was put there by Yorkdale Mall. No explanation, no artist, no temper, nothing. Just yeah. Yorkdale Mall's got this giant metal fist just poking out of the air, and I kind of shuddered when I saw that. But are we caring less? Toronto last in organ donors list. Do keep in mind there have been reports out there and some in mainstream news sources of people going to hospitals in serious accidents, and because the hospitals often get paid for organs, sometimes they will let you die when you don't have to, just so they can grab ye old organ. So look into this more. I'm not saying be an organ. I'm not saying don't. I'm just saying now that you're aware of that information, if you want to make a decision and your kids, your parents rather, you know, tried to teach you to think instead of obey, don't listen to me to be an organ donor or not. Look into it. It's an issue. And I'm someone who's you know, reasonably compassionate and credible, who's saying, look into it if you want to know about it. And that's the best thing I can tell you. So there's a bit on the Star. I got the cover of the 24 here. Stupid decision to close DVP. Oh, man, after this weekend, they're just hitting us with nonsense. Feud fells trees. Helen Gardner says she fears for the safety of her family after thousands of dollars worth of trees were cut down behind her house. So, yeah, the state's moving in with things like this, and she is on the cover. But what her remedies are going to be something that we have to, keep an eye out. Because if we just get used to the fact that people are screwed by the state and that's just the way it is, then we're going to be in some trouble. Give guns to bylaw enforcement officers, says Mammoliti. Toronto mayoral candidate Giorgio Mammoliti says bylaw enforcement officers should be armed with guns and given the power to arrest people posting signs or painting graffiti on city property. Wow. We got competing fascists in the mayor campaign. Pink Pitbull and Smitherman leading, and then Mammoliti saying give these guys guns. I got to tell you a quick story. Pressfortruth.ca has a new video. I haven't seen it yet, but I did interview Dan Dix, the one of the co-creators of this video, along with Steve Davies. He and Steve shot it Sunday at 10 a.m., and Brian Law helped them edit it, as well as an editing genius. The three of them worked on this. Pressfortruth.ca. There was a terror drill taking place at Commerce Court Sunday at 10 o'clock in the morning. About 30 armed, super SWAT teamed out, stormtrooper type guys, and 30 actors hired to play victims with their hands up running around. And then about 30-40 private security guys, Gardas, Securitas, those types of guys, the guys we see at malls and everywhere else, just around watching this in a circle. And I did make note in the interview with Dan, which I'm going to play on tomorrow's show, and as well as clips from the video, I did make note that I asked him, dude, were their hands up? And he said, yeah, their hands were up. So I was like, this is not a rescue operation. This is something else. This is not a rescue operation. And he's like, yeah, it did appear that they were trying to quarantine people. So something to check into there. But I am out of here, folks. It's been a great show today. Hope you did enjoy it. A few thoughts on things to look into, expanding our minds, here in the 21st century. The People's DJ, Mr. David James, is up next to spin you the finest in jazz for the next 4 hours. So do stick around for that on a pleasant day. He can take you forever, and it'll feel like that for the next 4 hours. Some websites to shout out, Infowars.com for a bunch more crazy stuff going on and a bunch more of what people are doing about it. Naturalnews.com, excellent health news. TrendsResearch.com, InternationalForecast.com for wealth news. TorontoTrueSeekers.com, 350 members strong and growing. We're on the streets Saturday, on the streets every Saturday. Not many groups in the world can say that. And pressfortruth.ca, great new video up of terror drills taking place before the G20 and the notion of public-private partnerships. Very, very scary stuff, kids. And also conspiracyculture.com. Freedom Fest events have begun. May 1st is Freedom Fest. Go to conspiracyculture.com for that and the book and DVD store, Queenie Roncesvalles. Toronto Street News, Flip a Homeless Guy, Atuni, thefreedomlink.org, network with other patriots worldwide. We can do things about this. That's why we go off like this. If we couldn't do anything about this, we wouldn't be going off like this and going on about this. So as we are heading into May, and as the weather is getting nice, and as we're all loosening up, and as we're all loosening our tongues, and we're all getting more free time, and we're all sharing things, let's share some things of value, so we value ourselves, so others value us, and so we value each other by not wasting their time, by using it well. And on that note, I leave you with Jay-Z and Coldplay with Beach Chair. Enjoy, everybody. Have a great day. The child should have to pay for the sins of the father, so I bought her my tomorrows against my yesterdays and hope that she'll be okay. And when I'm no longer here to shade her face from the glare, I give her my share of Carol's daughter Emily. I hear my angels.
dream to me. Gunshots sing to these other guys, but lullabies don't mean a thing to me. I'm not afraid of crying, I'm afraid of not trying. Every day hit every wave like I'm Hawaiian. I don't surf the net, no, I never been on MySpace. Too busy letting my voice vibrate, carving out my space. In this world of fly girls, cut throats and diamond cut ropes, I twirls. Business round corners where the sun don't shine. I let the wheels give a glimpse of hope on one's grind. Sunset hope, how you get so fly? I said for not being afraid to fall out the sky. My physical's a shell, so when I say farewell, my soul will find an even higher plane to dwell. So fly, you shell, so have no fear. Just know that life is but a beast, chick,
chick. I hear my angels.
Life is but a dream. Life is but a dream, can't mimic my life. I'm the thinnest cut slice, in the cut, the winner's cup. With winter's rough enough to interrupt life. That's why I'm both saint and sinner. Nice. This is Jay every day, no compromise. No compass comes with this life, just eyes. So to map it out, you must look inside. Sure books could guide you, but your heart defines you, chica. The corazón is what brought us home. The great shape like Heidi Klum, Mighty Kong, I am on permanent vacay. Life is but a beach chair. Songs like a Hallmark card until you reach here. Till to she's here, and she's declared. I will prepare a blueprint for you to print, a map for you to get back, a guide for your eyes just so you won't lose scent. I'll make a stink for you to think. I ink these verses full of prose so you won't get conned out of 2 cents. My last will a testament, I leave my air, my share Rockefeller records in a shiny new
I hear my angels.